What up, doe? You are tuning in to What Works For Us, the Black Queer Lifestyle Podcast,
where we'll discuss everything black and queer,
mental health,
relationships,
art,
fashion.
We take it back our culture, y'all.
Carry my city like some shoulder pads and strap. Evidently, I've been killing. Hey.
What's poppin'?
What's up?
What's up? Episode 6, we here up in the building. Well, it's not really a building, but we here.
Yeah, we here.
Yes, yes, yes. Hey, Will.
Oh, hi, Will.
Hey, William. We are live on Instagram as we record episode 6 of our past podcast show.
What works for us?
What works for us? All black.
All queer.
Oh, you are really getting good. I think now it's like a natural reaction for you to just come in right on time and do what you have to say. Kudos to Edmondson. Getting it together.
I guess.
So just some housekeeping notes. I am live on Instagram, so you guys interact with me, show some love, you know, put some stuff out there, what you want us to talk about. I mean, we always, of course, know what we're going to talk about. But you know that interaction, live interaction is always dope, right?
Yeah, I like the comments and stuff from the live interaction, so I'm here for it.
Yes, yes. What up, baby bro 6ix9ine?
Hey, baby bro 6ix9ine.
Hey.
You know what I thought about today? Okay,
what?
So Mr. Telltales, you know, that is his name, you know, that's his branding name. But Mr. Telltales used to have a name that he used to always go by when we were younger that he would say all the time. He would answer the phone with the name. It was just, that was his staple name. And I'm shocked he, like, you don't have a tattoo. Nope, you don't have a tattoo of that name on you. Or yes, you might.
What I need you to say the name.
One and only. The one and only.
Oh, I do have a tattoo that says
you
the
do.
One and only. I
do.
It's my actually first tattoo. I have it on this arm right here, which is what is my right arm, and it's a Tasmania devil, and it says the one and only.
Yeah, that was his intro all the time. He as a phone, you know, hi, hello, the one and only.
The one and only. Yes, I did. What else tattoos? We talk about tattoos. I got chocolate royalty. I got that tattoo. What else? I got my name, Tyreek, like Thug Life, across my stomach. Because, you know, I'm a... What did Jesse say? He's a who?
Oh, he's what? The gay Tupac?
The gay Tupac.
Oh, Lord Jesus, Pope Baby.
Then I got a few other tattoos. One say Diamond Prince. I used to love Trina back in the day. She was my favorite rapper until, you know, the Queen Minaj came to the scene and stuff. Like, who's your favorite rapper, Edmondson?
OMG. Well, I talked about I kind of mentioned her in the last episode. I said I was raised by her, and it's my sister, Lil' Kim. You know, that's always has and always will be my favorite. What was I about to say?
What?
I was just about to say, we talking about tattoos. I have zero.
Zero tattoos. And why haven't you ever got a tattoo?
I just don't. I never had an interest in getting a tattoo. So, you know, I just never had an interest. I'm more into jewelry.
Jewelry? Something less permanent.
Something that's permanent, right? Something I can take on and off. But it'll last forever. Like, you know, diamonds last forever just like a tattoo.
I think you should get like a tramp stamp like over your booty that says,
no, thank
it
you.
Is.
No. Oh, my gosh. No, thank you.
I think that'd be nice.
No. No, I don't even have an interest in doing like the henna. Like Tamar, she does the henna all the time, like on her body, and she gets it like on her thighs and stuff like that. And I guess it's cute, you know, if you like wear swimsuits and stuff like that. But I don't even have an interest in that. It's just like, oh, that's cute for you.
I love tattoos. I haven't got one in a very long time, probably like what, 4 or 5 years now. But at one point, I was getting them every year because it's just something about that sensation, something about that pain and that moment, and to see. Because I like to create whatever tattoo that I have or whatever. They be random shit. It's not like I just, like, thin air getting a profound tattoo, right? It's how I feel at the moment. But I don't regret any of my tattoos. They represent what was going on at that time. It's dope to me.
One of my YouTube, I guess I'll say girlfriend. I'll call her my auntie. But she recently got a tattoo redone. And she said she was going through something. And, you know, she was talking about, she had even mentioned that she had thought about, you know, suicide, which I'm like, girl,
wow.
oh my Jesus. But, yes, but she said that when she had went and got one of her tattoos redone, she said that was actually kind of cathartic for her because she needed to feel that pain. She said that feeling that pain helped her get over whatever she was going through. I'm like, oh, okay, that's different.
I actually like that. I mean, it is a sensual pain. It's like the pain that hurts but feel good at the same time. I am Houston said body art is the best. And William said something about freaky. I don't know if he's referring to you and your tramp stamp that you should get.
I don't even have one, so he couldn't be talking about that.
I don't know. But yes, tattoos. Check in, Emerson. What's popping with you?
Wow. Well, check in with me is this week. It's a little interesting. If you listened to the last episode, if you have not listened to the last episode, you need to go back and listen to it. Or maybe it's the episode actually before last. It was the Y'all Cancel episode. I was talking about how people was up on my body, and I wanted people to get off me and back up off me. Right. And I think the universe heard me loud and clearly, because I was talking about how this happened at my part-time job, because you know, my regular job, you know, I don't deal with public. But that one I did. And pretty much... they fired a bitch. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know I was fired. I just went to, you know, I was getting ready to go to work one day, you know, and I'm like, wait, I didn't get any notifications saying I need to go to work. And I looked at my little stuff on my phone that I use for work, and it was looking different. And I just had to do my little research. And I'm like, oh, they had sent me an email, told me my last day was like a few days ago. I'm like, oh, that was my last day. I never knew. So, you know, it's just funny how you say certain things, and then the universe responds in its own odd way. But, yeah, I was fired via email.
Oh my God, that happened on the episode. That's like Friday when you get fired on your day off.
Yeah,
right. You had to check your email, and it was like, oh, we decided to go in another direction.
Right. It's like, oh, I didn't even know. Like, it was what, February 25th, they was pretty much telling me that was like the last straw. It was for attendance because, and I had said in the episode that, you know, I had. But, you know, I was taking out my frustrations. I was taking out how I was feeling like on work. So I had been late a couple of times because it was just like, oh, I'm not feeling it. I don't feel like going this bitch. So, and I didn't know, had no idea they was tracking it like that. And then they said something else happened too where I left early one day. That one I kind of felt like I disputed because I'm like, I don't leave early for work for just no reason. That's not me. But they said it happened. So I really didn't argue the fact. I'm just like, oh, okay, well. You know, it is what it is. So I went over to a competitor that's more classy. And, you know, I haven't started yet. But, you know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that, how that one rolled in. So, yeah, it's not all bad. But, you know, lesson learned. Everything in life is a lesson. And the lesson learned with that one is check your email. Check all your emails.
And then, like you said about the energy you put out, that was something that you were, like, talking about, like, people get in your way and stuff like that, and everybody in your personal space.
Yeah.
But what I do admire about how it worked with you was, at the same time, you was telling me, because at first you didn't tell me, you know, you like to keep secrets all the damn time. As you were telling me what happened, you were already talking about the next job you already have. And so that just really shows your hustle. And I do admire that. Like, you don't let one thing really get you down. And, you know, it just, you know, you like, well, shit, that door closed. Time to go open another one. So that's cool that you did that so fast.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have done the same thing, but that is admirable, right? And so yeah. I'm like, so now I know, like, shit, if I tell Emerson I lost a job, I better be working on how to, you know, keep it going or thinking how to get another one. Somebody said what I'm drinking. What is this? Sky vodka? Vodka?
No, that's Absolut.
Oh, Absolut. Oh, he upgraded. Oh. Am I a little sweaty? I feel like I'm sweaty.
Absolut was on sale, what was it, a couple of weeks ago? Oh, my goodness. you don't look sweaty. I think it's just the light.
Well, somebody said I look high.
Oh!
Hey, Sonny. What's poppin'?
Hey, Sadie.
So, yes, Zelos 86. I am drinking Absolut vodka with cranberry juice and, was it sweet and sour or
margarita? That's margarita mix. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Jolly Rancher. Actually, Will, who is watching us on Instagram Live, is the one that actually told me how to make this drink, and it's really, really good. It's a little sweet, so I don't drink it all the time, but it definitely gives me where I need to go, but keep me maintained, because we don't want to get to the place I was on about the last episodes. You know, I listened to that last episode, Emerson. I was like, I said a lot. So I have to redeem myself. So if I'm a little calmer this episode, I feel like,
my goodness.
You know, I'm not going to just come off the gate and just say so much that I said in the last episode because, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. You know, so I'm going to be a little bit PG-13. Mm. That's a little better, right?
Okay. So we can go with PG-13.
Yeah, PG-13 a little better. But hey.
Hey.
So finish the check-in.
I was fired. I was fired via email. But then other than that, with my full-time jobs, I have some good news. For the first time ever in life of my full-time job, I don't know if any of y'all work in a call center or that type of a job where you have to do shift bids and all that kind of stuff. Ugh, it sucks. So for the past 2 years, honestly, I feel like they've been giving me whatever the fuck they want to give me as far as the schedule. Even though I bid, it just didn't seem like it mattered. So in the midst of me being fired, we had a shift bid, but I don't want to go too far. I got a little woo-woo and I just, kind of had my thoughts about the schedule, just did it and let it go, gave it to the universe, and it came back and I finally got a schedule that I want that's going to work for me in the summertime. So in the summertime, I can be out in the streets and I ain't got to be stuck at work on weekends on all that type of bullshit. So I'm happy about that. So that was some good news. That was something good that happened. In the midst of me being fired. And other than that, I guess we can both talk about this. I'll be done with my check-in. But it's the start of, South by Southwest started Thursday? Last Thursday?
Probably the Sunday. Sunday. It's
actually 2 weeks. Yeah. Well, it's South by Southwest in Austin.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo. It's South by Southwest in Austin. For those of you who don't know, I'm not sure I say this right. It's like the biggest live music event in the country, right?
In the world, actually. Oh, well, the type of festival that it is.
Okay, well,
because they turn anything into a live venue.
Yeah, okay.
So it's all over the city.
Yeah, that's true. And it was the start of it, and we went out this weekend with our friend Warren. Shout out to Warren.
Again.
And oh my gosh. Now Tyreek told me before we was going out that we was going out with Warren. And I had, I was so busy trying to be on time and stuff like this that I forgot that I was going out with Warren. I have to pre-game on stuff before I go out with Warren because I know how I'm gonna feel the next day. Because Warren, I was kind of fucked up. I mean, I was, but I maintained it. But I was a little, fucked up. I just, the next day, the recovery took a long ass time. Tyreek said he took his pills when he got home.
Yes.
I didn't do mine when I got home. I forgot all about it. And the next day, I was like, damn, I went out with Warren. I forgot. And the next day, I was struggling. But I had a good time. Tyreek had a good time.
Why did Tyreek had a good time?
Tyreek, I'll let him tell his story. But Tyreek, first of all, we tried something new this weekend. We tried something that he and I had never done before, and we would talk shit about it all the time.
What?
And I was
Them
damn, I call them damn birds, but them scooters.
Them scooters,
all them scooters that's downtown. We talk about them all the time, how people be on them and they be everywhere. I saw a girl one night when we was going out. I saw a girl on one and she fell off it and she rolled down a hill. She fell off it and just was rolling down the hill after she fell off it. And Tommy said, what happened? I was like, oh my God, oh. And she's like, what happened? I'm like, that girl just rolled down the hill. She fell off the scooter. So it wasn't even nothing I ever thought about, but hanging out and we was, having a good time. And Warren was like, well, let's get on. We didn't want to walk from one spot to another. So we was like, well, how are we going to get there? We don't want to walk. And, we could have did one of the little trolley things or whatever. But, Warren just suggested, let's get on one of the scooters. And, it took me forever to figure out how to work that thing. Okay. I felt so I felt very less than, I felt off. Because I'm like, how do you work this thing? I'm like, I don't even, what you do? Like, how do you get to go?
Even before we even got the damn thing, because it's South by Southwest, all the damn things were dead.
Mm-hmm.
So they if you want to get a bird, you have to download the bird app. Then they have the Uber scooters, mm-hmm. they have the Lyft scooters, mm-hmm. they have the, what's the green one? The Lime scooter. So if you want to get those scooters, you have to download the app, which I kind of like the idea that, app goes straight to your car and stuff. So that's why I like the Uber one. So I download these apps, scan it. You can't reserve this one. Dead. You can't reserve this one. But all that walking we did looking for that
right,
scooter,
okay.
We probably could have just walked to our destination.
We probably could have.
But when I got on it, it was It was so fun. Like, I felt so bad that I've been, like, dogging it out all this time because they're everywhere. They're, like, roaches. Like, as a car driver, they're annoying because, like, I'm already, you know, the bare minimum good driver, right? I do not consider myself an excellent driver. I don't consider myself a person who really cares what's going on. I mean, I do my best, so don't be alarmed if you're next to me or behind me, but I'm just not going all out of my way to be a best driver.
Yeah.
So when I got all these interruptions, like people on scooters rolling down the street, driving along with me, I could be, you know, changing the station, you know, getting to the song I want to hear on my phone or on the car and hear them darting out in front of me. And if I hit their ass, then I'm to blame.
Right.
So I got to be responsible for not only the cars, and then don't even get into these damn bicyclers when they be, you know, the bicycle lane. Yeah. They think they own the lane.
Okay.
Then the motorcycles, and now we got to deal with the damn scooters. everybody floating around during South by Southwest. Shout out to my roomie, Adam, what's popping?
Hey, Adam. So, yeah, we got on the scooter for the first time, and once I got on, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it was like, all right, it was an experience, you know, and, you know, but I don't trust other people, and I don't trust other drivers in Austin because I don't think they can drive worth the shit. So my thing is, I did it, but I didn't, you know, it's not something I want to do all the time. But we did that, and you know, that was cool. And then we went to a couple of straight bars that night. I don't even know.
We started at the hotel, the W.
Yeah, we did start at the hotel, the W. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the start of the night, and then we went to the 6th Street to that shot bar. That I had never known anything about that. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like a gym that I knew nothing about in Austin. I don't even know the name of it.
Shots. So that's all I remember. All he was taking.
Right.
He took like 5 shots.
Yeah.
And then I think I took one of your shots.
You did.
You didn't want it. Yeah. So by the time we got out of there, I was already.
Tyreek was.
Went from, you know, we're not going to say all that this episode about my escapades, but basically went from, I ain't going to say 0 to 100. But definitely after those shots, I went from 0 to, like, what, 75? And so I was toasty already because they was lighting the shots on fire.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. But it was fun. I had to control myself because it was early.
Yeah,
I think we met up around, like, 6:37.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be that fucked up by 9 o'clock and then looking at the rest of the night like, it's time to go home.
Even though we did end up going home early because Tyreek snuck out. And I feel bad. Shout out to my sister, Brister Joe. If you are listening, girl, we just kind of snuck out because somebody said they wanted to sneak out. So I'm like, okay,
why would you have to say that?
First of all, I said somebody. I didn't say you.
Well, clearly you was with me.
We could have been with somebody else. I didn't say Warren was with us until he snuck out before we did, but Warren was with us too after when we went, so it could have been him. Anyway, so yeah, we did that. But anyway, I'm almost done with my check-in. But Tyreek, when we went to whatever straight bar we went to, I don't know what straight bar that was. They got a lot of video footage of us. I don't know where that video footage is going to go, but we went to something. Do you know the name of that straight bar we went to?
I don't know, but I messed up on live. I think I'm going back. I'm listening. Okay, I'm back, y'all. My bad.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know what straight bar it was but that was a good time. And Mr. Telltales had an awesome time. He inspired the masses. Like, the dance floor was a little airy. It was a little dry at first, but Tyreek went out there, or Mr. Telltales went out there, you know, and he wasn't, like he said in the previous episodes back before, he went out there, you know, doing the most. He was doing a little two-step or whatever, but it got the crowd going, and it ended up getting a whole lot of people out there, and it ended up being a whole situation. A cowboy came out there. He was dancing. It was a whole – and I'd say it's because of Mr. Telltales, because he was the main one out in the middle of the floor just doing his thing, having a great time. So it was a great time. It was a great little Saturday. It wasn't, like, nothing nuts. It wasn't nothing over the top, but it was, you know, South by South. We didn't even really do anything South by Southwest related, but us just being out in the midst of everything, it was fun. So that's my check-in. I'm done.
Okay, that's dope. No, it was a really good Saturday. Like, it took, like, I stayed in the bed to, what, like, 2 o'clock on Sunday just to recover from that because those damn shots. It was, like, so many shots. And then, you know, by the time we got to, like, the gay bars, I couldn't drink anymore.
Yeah,
tell you what happened, you guys. I'll just leave it at that. But I just... I just couldn't take no more. And so I did. It wasn't that I was trying to sneak out the club, but you know, people, we had got to the club fairly early because we had already been partying for so long, mm-hmm. and we were trying to get to our destination. It wasn't that early. What, like, it was like 12.
It was like 1 something.
It was 1 something when we got there.
No, oh, you're talking about when we got there. When we got there, it was 12 something. We left around 1 something.
Yeah, and so I just couldn't take no more liquor or whatever. And, you know, I can't do any weed and stuff like that because, you know, I have a drug test coming up soon. And so it's just like, you know, all those shots back to back to back. But I did have a good time at that club, though, because, you know, again, we get there, people standing around looking like they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I just went to the middle of the dance floor and just start just doing my thing. And it did feel like everybody just started swarming in.
They did.
And it wasn't that I was doing nothing, because I don't do nothing but a two-step. You might get an upper body move. Right. Maybe a little shuffle in the feet, but nothing major. But I was walking around with 2 shots in my hand. Like, I literally think I had, 12 shots.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you were gone when I took those. Because you and Warren had got y'all drinks. And then I went back and got my drinks. And I think I was drinking, Crown on the Rocks. I drank Crown all night. And I'm a vodka man, so, drinking Crown is, you know, it's good, but I'm like, oh, shit. I already knew what I was setting myself up for. Mm. But it was pretty good. The scooter thing was really fun. They would not allow me to get back on the scooter. I was so mad at them because they kept saying, you're drunk. You can't get on the scooter. You're going to be, you know, roadkill. They're going to kill you and stuff like that. I'm like, because, you know, what I don't like about the scooter is that you can't get on the sidewalk. And I'm like, I feel like it should be multi-purposes. I get that we don't want to run over people that's walking on the sidewalk, but to just say I have to drive in the middle of the street is ridiculous as well, even though it's fun and adrenaline rush. But I feel like as a drunk person, I should have been able to just ride my scooter on the sidewalk.
You had a good idea about the whole scooter thing. So you were saying, like, maybe for South by Southwest, they can't do it just because of all the madnesses on it, but you were saying they should have maybe streets cut off just for scooters. Now, if they had that, I probably wouldn't have not said anything, because it was more so, it wasn't just him, it was other people. Other people be down there drinking and driving, too. And, you know, they already said an Uber person that ran over somebody on a scooter, so I'm like, I don't...
I'm not about to laugh. I wasn't laughing at the scooter.
But that was my whole thing. It wasn't really more so him, it was other people. I don't trust other people. I'm like, he can't be on there, and then he already is kind of, you know, loose, and then other people in their cars loose, and they might, you know, don't see him, or might be changing the track or something like that, or taking a swip, or they licking the car, or whatever, and, you know, something happens. So that was kind of why I was like, don't do that, because it was later at that point. It was a lot of people down. I'm like, okay, it's a lot of people down here. Now, when we did early, it was a little earlier. It was still people crowded, but I'm like, it's later now. People probably nice and soft, like, mm-mm.
And so one of the other reasons why I left the club, too, because I felt like I was propositioned. Should I say this? I would say it.
It's real. It's real.
It's this guy that I often run into out and about. And he usually go to those kind of clubs, gay clubs, with this girl or whatever. And I guess she's a lesbian. I don't know who's straight, who's gay or whatever. And I didn't know he was with her the first few times that I seen them. And then I felt like I was entertaining that he was like, you know, she, I'm with her. And I'm like, okay. But then me and him kept talking. I'm like, okay, so what is this? What's going on? Then it led to, I guess I can't get all into it, whatever, whatnot. So I'm not going to get into all that, but
I can say something real quick, though. I'm not going to say nothing about with you. I'll say something about what I overheard in conversation that this other person said.
Okay.
About, now I know, I could be mistaken, but no, I think they would, Warren would have to correct me.
But you going
to
say his name?
No, I'm talking about Warren.
I know.
Oh, but yeah, well, Warren, it was something that this person said to Warren. They were having a conversation, something I think overheard. I believe I overheard them talking about they were saying how they really wanted, like, I really want Tyreek, like, I really want him. And I'm like, oh, I'm looking like, you know, and I kind of went over my head. I'm like, okay. So I didn't even know all this was going on like that, and I didn't even know the whole situation. But when I heard that part, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I didn't know. But then once I found out the rest, and I found out all the rest of the details, I'm like, oh, that's very interesting. But anyway, go ahead.
It is interesting. Like, so I'm not, I'm very open. I'm a single man. We already talked about this. And so I believe in all different types of relationships. I respect it all. Not in, you know, would I be in like poly relationships or open relationships? Personally, maybe, maybe not. I have not experienced this specifically to me, meaning my relationships. Have I experienced it? you know, maybe a few episodes down, we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. So that situation, it's not that I'm against it, like a man and a woman, and they are like, you know, if you talk to me, you got to talk to her. I think that's kind of hot and exciting, but I was fucked up, right? And so I didn't want to put myself in a position where I had to make any bad decisions or good decisions. So I kind of removed myself from the situation or whatever, whatnot. And it was interesting. I don't know how I would react to that in general. Like, it's fun at the club, mm-hmm. but like, okay, so we leaving the club, then what, right? You know, and I can say that I have not been in a situation with a man and a girl before. So I don't know, but I like the idea. And so it's interesting in that way. Someone wants to know, what are your viewpoints? Oh my God, I already know how Emerson is going to look at this. What are your viewpoints on open relationships?
Oh, I guess I have to answer first.
Yeah, I want to hear your opinion because I counter. Well, I already know it's going to be a counter, but what's your viewpoints on open relationships?
I mean, I don't have anything to say about it for other people. I think what other people do in their situations, as long as they keep it over there, that's fine. You know, so if you are in an open relationship, both people are okay with it. Y'all both have an agreement that that's how y'all roll. Then I don't have a problem with it. From that standpoint, just a man can't come to me and tell me he wants an open relationship. That's going to be a capital N-O because I don't play those games. But that's just me. I'm not saying that's anything wrong with anybody else doing it. It's a free world. Live your life. Live your best life. You only get one. So do what you like. That's just not something for me just because it's just not something for me. So I don't think that's that bad. I'm just saying it's not anything for me. But if somebody else wants to do it, that's fine.
So what's my opinion about it? Well, I believe in poly situations. I believe that they could work. I feel like we're so confined to this whole idea of like heterosexual relationships where it's the man and the female, one person and one person. And then so we've been fed that and we've been aligned with that. And that's the way society works. And most people try to fit in that box at all times. For some people, that's the box they need to be in, right? I get it. Like you said, that's your box. That's how you can operate at your full potential.
Yeah.
Someone like me, I have to really evaluate all options, right? Because I can't say that being with just one person works for me because clearly I'm single now, right? Mm-hmm. And not saying that being in a poly situation will make anything better, but to not explore it or not to learn more about it, not to be interested in it, I think would be foolish on my part considering that what I've done so far hasn't worked. And I feel like most people that I know in those kind of situations feel like they usually have a tighter relationship on the forefront. You know, I feel like all relationships can have issues on the back end, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like on the forefront, I've seen those kind of relationships fluster more. And again, I'm not talking about open relationships. So I guess I have maybe an open relationship is kind of like a open-ended question because an open relationship could be just anything, right? Like, you just allow that person to do whatever. I don't know if that's necessarily like a poly relationship or a relationship where you have that kind of partnership and that kind of understanding. Because you could be open and you're not even really engaging with your partner. It's just something. Y'all both living two separate lives.
Right.
And so I don't think I would want that, right? That kind of open relationship where we together because we got a house together or because we, you know, been together for a long time, that this is what we have to do and we're going to open our relationship up to other people.
Remember on Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce where the girl was, she had started dating a poly couple and they had took her to some party or something with all these other poly couples. And then she had started trying to get with other people. They looked at her like, what are you doing? You know, like no. She's like, well, I thought this is what everybody does. They're like, no, we don't do that. Like, you're our girlfriend. Like, this is supposed to be a relationship.
Right.
Like,
it was a relationship.
Right. They like, you don't go on other poly couples. Like,
right. You're our poly.
Right. You're our third.
Yeah. And I think because it is rules, right? And I feel like in those situations, to me, from my experiences, they're usually more in tune with each other to be able to operate in that world. Because I feel like you have to be, right? Mm-hmm. You have to cross your T's and dot your I's way more than, you know, just one relationship and you just letting stuff go. So I wouldn't say, so my views is, I don't necessarily believe in what we consider open relationship, meaning that two people, maybe their relationship is not where it used to be, and now they're just open relationship. You can go fuck. I don't know about it. You know, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
No, I would be more inclined to be interested in more of a situation where if it is a third person that they're all, you know, connected in some way. Mm-hmm. It's an open relationship between all parties, not just open on both ends. So it's like, you know, you do this, and no one ever meets in the middle. Mm. I feel like that's just a bad relationship, in my opinion. I mean, because what do you get out of that? If I'm with you and you spend more time or... Because once you start that, that becomes the process, right? You continuously, you're focusing, you know, you can't focus on two different things. So you either bring it together or it stays apart in some kind of way. And so, but I'm definitely open in poly. I'm definitely open into those kind of situations. I haven't not been in one totally or whatever, but who knows? It's 2019 and I feel like we need to expand our mentality around relationships. If you can, right? If it works for you. I respect the people that's like, me and you for life, nobody else. Maybe that works for me. I don't know. Time would tell. Yeah, so what's the rest of my check-in? So, that was a very interesting dynamic. I'm still very intrigued by that situation with the male and the female. I had to do the okey-doke that particular day because, again, I don't feel like I was in my full right mind and I didn't want to make any impulsive decisions or whatever with that kind of situation. But, you know, I'll leave it if we run into each other in the club again. You know, I'll leave it at that. And so would you do that with a man and a girl?
Absolutely not.
Why is that absolutely not?
I'm not interested.
Oh, I'm so interested. Because I've been watching TMI, but I've been watching like that kind of porn. And it's like so interesting. You know, like it's like bisexual porn just popping up everywhere. And I'm just like, okay, maybe. You know, who knows? You know, I haven't explored that world, but you know, I'm getting older. You know, I want to make sure I know what I like, you know, across the spectrum. But, I mean, I still consider myself gay, even if I did, like, explore in, like, a bisexual world. I don't want to take that from those people who are actually bisexual because I believe in that identity. Yeah. So that's really my check-in. Still just, I was a finalist for Austin Under 40.
Yes! Yes! Woo! Yes!
That was a dope thing. Very competitive award. In most places, they have, like, a... You know, 40 under 40, you know, stuff like that. And so to be recognized by my city again, I love Austin because Austin supports me, love on me, keep, you know, showing me different things and keep showing me love that I never thought I would get. So that was exciting. A lot of different events coming with that. And so that was a dope day. And so, yeah, this week been really, really good. Well, last week going into this week has been really a good week. I got a lot of shit I got to do, though. I got, like, plays and rewrites and edits. I'm just like, I just need to... So, on social media coming up in a couple of weeks, I'm going to just really get off all social media, lock myself in a room, lock myself somewhere, and just write. Because I have so many projects that I have to write that all this other white noise around me has to come to an end. I haven't decided when, where, how, but it's coming.
Sometimes you have to put your head down. That's what I say. And I said I was going to put my head down soon, too. Oh, and this is another thing, you know, not to talk about the woo-woo again, but I don't know if Tyreek remembers, but we had our meeting of the mind meetings that we had in January. I remember that I said, I put out in the universe, that I said I wanted Tyreek to get top people under 40. I said it, and I said it there. I remember. So, and it happened. It turned around in a few months. So, you know.
The woo-woo is on point.
Right, my woo-woo is on point. That one came back pretty quick.
I know, right? Yeah. So, again, we're live on Instagram. And if you guys are listening to our show, continue to show us love. We love the comments. We love the support that we're getting. But make sure you're putting those comments on Apple Music. You know, that's how we can keep moving forward, what we're doing. Show us love on Instagram, Facebook. We don't have a Twitter. We're working on all that good stuff. But again, engage with us. Send us emails. Do all that good stuff so we can continue to give y'all the content y'all need. So if you're on Instagram, keep asking questions. Y'all been asking some good questions so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my check-in. So what's popping? What is the topic for today?
Well, Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, well, it was a couple of weeks ago. Oscars was about a couple of weeks ago now, right? Well, maybe a few weeks ago. Okay, so a few weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, whatever. I don't know if y'all saw. I'm pretty sure y'all saw because it was like the talk of the night. Billy Porter, he wore a suit dress. I don't know what you call it. I call it a suit dress, but I don't know what, it's probably something more fabulous to call it. But to me, I saw a suit and I saw a dress. So I call it a suit dress.
Fancy, smancy.
Right. So, and you know, it was a talk, you know, everybody was giving it compliments or, you know, everybody, a lot of people liked it. And it rose a lot of questions. Well, it was a topic that a lot of people chimed in on, I'll say that. And I was looking on my Facebook and somebody was made a post about people talking about how society or media is, you know, slowly but surely trying to demasculate or, demasculate men and make men, you know, wear dresses or become more feminine and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just looking at like, what? Huh? Really? Like, so I think it's something we need to talk about. It's us as gays, not straight men trying to have the conversation and try to chime in just because of whatever the fuck. I think us as gays need to have a topic about the conversation. And for me, I think that's ludicrous for people to think that because, you know, it's more people on TV or television, you know, like RuPaul's Drag Race and all these type of stuff, or, you know, more people, you know, showing their, or just being, being their true selves and self-identifying, I'll say. You know, they're just dressing how they feel. And, you know, and if whatever that might be. They might be a man that might wear, you know, that likes to wear a dress. You know, what's his name? What's that man name, that rapper name?
Young Thug.
Yeah, live your best life. But people are saying that, you know, they're trying to turn, you know, make men not be masculine and all this kind of stuff. And I just think that's a bowl of bullshit. Like, I don't think that if you feel like TV can make you want to put on a dress, I think that you really need to do some soul searching and really evaluate yourself as a man or whatever. If you really think, if something could be that influential to you where you see it on TV and you immediately just want to go out and do it yourself. I feel that, you know, first of all, I feel like it's just bullshit. I'm gonna say it's bullshit to me because I don't think that's what it is. Because I can go back to when I was younger, and when I was in school, I used to wear when I was like fifth, sixth grade and stuff like that. You know, I would wear, you know, Polo, Nautica, Guess when Guess was urban. I would wear a Slim John. I would wear that kind of stuff. And honestly, it was almost like I felt like I had imposter syndrome. Because I would look at him like, what is this? I don't want to wear this. It was cute. It was cute stuff. I ain't going to make it seem like I'm unappreciative of this stuff. It was nice, cute stuff. It was name brand stuff. My mama did what she could, you know, and I'm appreciative. You know, I felt like she kept me looking nice. But I still, in the back of my mind, thought like, this is not me. Like, this is not who I am. So I felt like an imposter. So, and TV, you know, rappers and stuff was wearing, you know, the do-rags, and they was sagging their pants and all that kind of stuff, and they was doing all this stuff. And that didn't influence me to want to do that. Why?
You wore do-rags.
But I'm saying I didn't want to continue doing it. I'm saying it's not something that I wanted to do just because I saw it on TV. It was just more so something I was just keeping up with the people that I was maybe around. Or I wore do-rags maybe because I felt like a need. Like, I'm like, okay, well, you know, sometimes I guess I did want to cover up my hair, but...
No, remember your little two...
My bangs. Right, and see, but see, I turned into something different. Now, see, I turned something masculine and made it feminine. So that's what I'm saying. It was not me. Yeah, see? So that was not me. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is I was not, you know, even though I was doing that, in the back of my mind, I knew that was not who I was. So, you know, TV, regardless of what TV and stuff was doing, I knew in the back of my mind there was something that was, you know, it was something in me that knew I was different. I didn't want to do that. So my thing is, these men out here saying that y'all want to be feminine, or y'all looking at TV and it's going to make y'all feminine, or it's going to make people feminine, I feel like it only would do that if you had that in your subconscious mind, that's something that's there. It's just something that's dormant that you just ain't trying to touch. It's something you're trying to just push away or suppress. My thing is, if it's there, you just trying to, you know, if it's there, that's when it'll spark for you to do that. Because if you a man who don't like it, if you don't like dresses, you don't like dresses. Like, and you're not going to put one on. Like, point blank, period. Like, okay, perfect example. I ain't trying to put Mr. Telltale's business out there, but I'll use him as a perfect example. Back in the day, I used to, I was cunt boots. So I would wear baby fat, fuck fat farm. I wore baby fat to the club. I would wear, you know what I'm saying? This is after the fact. This is when I said, fuck it. You know, that shit, that urban man shit is not me. I'm different.
Somebody said period.
Okay, period. Period. Right, okay. So I would wear that kind of stuff to the club. I would go to the club, cunt boots, earrings, boots, heels, tight jeans. I did it all, you know, and I didn't give a fuck. This was after I was introduced to, you know, well, this was after I was reunited with my sister, Kimberly Denise Jones, BKA Lil Kim. After she came, everything was just over. All bets was off once she came around. I was like, you know, fuck it, fuck everybody. I'm gonna do me. And that's just what it is. So anyway, going back to Mr. Telltales. Mr. Telltales tried to dress comp boots with me one time when we went to the club. And, you know, he did it. And, you know, it was what it was. But guess what? It was not him. It was something he wanted to try. He tried it. And that wasn't him. That's not who he was. And he didn't do it ever again. So, you know, that's my point. If it's something you want to do or if it's something that's in you, you're going to do it. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. Tyreek was, you know, or Mr. Taylor was a gay man. He could have done that if he wanted to, but that was not him. That was not, and that was perfectly okay. With, you know, that wasn't him. And I always like, that's not who he is. I agree. That was not him. So if it's something that is in you that you're going to do, if you're going to wear dresses or be feminine or do all this stuff, this, you know, shit that these toxic masculine people say that you should not do as a man. If it's something that you see on TV that sparks you to do it, it's already there. TV didn't do that. TV is just helping bring it to light. But that's it. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, you know, talking about clothes, you know, what did the clothes bring in? So someone asked, what's the topic again? And so what I got out of this conversation is basically the idea that the exposure of guys being able to be gender fluid in what they wear mm-hmm. is starting to make our men less masculine.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of what Billy Porter wore to the Oscars and Young Thug in a dress. You know, my baby, Lil Uzi Vert. I love me some Lil Uzi Vert. That is one cunt, sexy little ugly but sexy, really cute. It's just on the bottom. He is so cute.
Oh my goodness.
But he's not ugly. I'm gonna take that back. He's really cute. But you know, he have all the piercings on his face and the tattoos on his face is what I meant by that. Like, he's not like clean cut, but he, you know, he's very in touch with, you know, he wear purses, mm-hmm. he wear labels, he want people to know what he got on. He is just very cunt boost to me. And he's so tiny.
Charlamagne like him too.
I love Charlamagne.
Charlamagne. Yeah.
What's his real name that Monique called him?
Lenard.
Lenard. Lenard. Right. At Breakfast Club interview. She's like, Lenard.
Right, Lenard.
Lenard. Like, she was not here for Charlamagne the God. But, you know, like people like Little Uzi Verse and Young Thug. So just bringing up that topic when you brought up, because I remember, like, I guess at that time I was young, right? I was like 17. I was still in high school, maybe 18. No, I hadn't graduated from high school yet, and I was always admired your ability to just be, you know, gender fluid at that time. You were very gender fluid. You're not really that gender fluid now, but then you were what they used to call it, like skag drag, kind of sort of type of thing, and you were just so confident. And you seem like you just have so much fun, like being able to dress up, you know, put on earrings, put on tight jeans, and put on boots. And I'm just like, I want that. You know, I want to know what that felt like, and I want to know what that is. So I always was kind of not envious, but definitely, like, wanted to know what that felt like. And so I had made a pact with you that I was going to wear these. It was really the jeans. We were going to get some girl jeans, and I was going to try to put on some girl jeans. And we were at the store, and none of the jeans fit. Right. I'm like, what is my size? What? Like, you know, in my mind, I should have been a size 0. You know? And, you know, when the numbers was going up,
right,
and I couldn't even get the girl jeans across my thighs, I'm like, why are they pants so small? Like, I can't even fit these things. I had to get, like, a 10 or something like that just to get my big-ass manly body in some girl jeans. And I remember we went out, and there was something going on that weekend. I don't know if it was Pride somewhere else. We went to Detroit, went to the Post. Mm-hmm. I remember it. So it wasn't as crowded that day.
No, it wasn't.
And so I did it, and I was like, no, this is not for me. Yeah. I just felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that it was me trying to not be feminine or anything, because I've always been really acceptive of whatever percentage of masculinity and whatever percentage of femininity I have. I just did not feel, I felt like I didn't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And so luckily, it wasn't too many people there that night.
Mm-mm.
And they didn't get to see me.
Right.
But like you said, like I experienced it. I wanted to know what it was. And it's so weird now, we talk about it all the time. You can buy man jeans that fit your body the same way. But the size that's more proportionate. Like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like a fat bitch that I couldn't fit in the size 0, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8,
right.
and a 10. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I'm a big girl. I was upset about that. But then I was very frail, but wearing girl clothes, I didn't know how the girl sizes went. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, if I'm 30 and boys, I should be, you know, at least a 2 in girls or something like that. And baby, when the thighs kept going up, I was like, no. And then I liked the way my booty was sitting in. I just didn't like it. I did not like the jeans that I did. It just wasn't me. And so over time, we kind of talked about this before, like, I've always used kind of like what I wear and who I am based on like my environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like in Detroit, I was the same way, like you said, the baggy clothes, the jeans, the damn durags. I wore durags like they was motherfucking, I don't know, like they was a wig, like I wear hats now, like a wig, whatever. I know you guys. I promise the next live, I will not have, I'm done with hats for the summer. Spring, summer is all natural. No hats.
I thought that was the brand.
I know, but I don't want people to think that, like, I'm wearing hats on purpose. Okay. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm covering something up or something like that.
Gotcha.
You know, but so, spring, summer, like Sheree said.
Right,
spring,
right,
summer,
that's right.
Spring, summer.
September.
Yeah, September. joggers. Right, joggers. Right. I'm going to wear, you know, just my natural head or whatever without any accessory. I think, like I told you guys, it's become like a comfort thing for me. And I'm like wondering, like, why do you always have to have something on your head? So I'm working on that and whatever. So it's always been that thing about how I express myself, the way I dress, right? You know, and Detroit was very, very hood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went to Atlanta, when I went to college, it was like I was hood, but it kind of worked in that way because I was out in college, but I really, it was not a big thing or mm-hmm. whatever. When I went to Atlanta, I remember my brother telling me, Darnell, like, we don't dress like that down here. When you wear all our big clothes, that's just too big. And he used to, like, you know, take my shirts and do the sleeves so they fit tight, you know, make sure that it wasn't necessarily cunt, but it fit. It fit.
Yeah.
It was before the whole fit now.
Yeah.
But even then, back in 2007, he's like, we don't baggy us out.
Yeah.
And even before, so this was before straight people wasn't doing baggy. The gays definitely weren't, because, you know, gays is always a, you know, fashion forward than, you know, not to be, you know, stereotypical, but we usually are more fashion forward or really culture forward than the straight community. Because we gave up baggy clothes way before, people like T.I. that wear skinny jeans.
I remember when, I don't even know if y'all know, but before Express Men even existed, it was called, it had its own store called Structure. And
yeah, I remember
when I have officially said, I am done with this baggy bullshit, because that's not me. No shade to people who like to be baggy, mm-hmm. but that was just not me. And I was like, I'm done. I want some tight jeans that's going to fit this body. Like, I was just like, I need, that's what I feel more comfortable in. I went to Structure, and I was looking for stuff, and I could not find the right fit. I bought some jeans, and they still didn't fit right. So it was even before, you know, tight was in, it was a struggle for me to even find, like, now I could easily find some jeans that's going to fit me right. I know exactly right. where to go. Like, ooh. I know what jeans fit me. But back then, it was a struggle. I'm like, I couldn't find them. They didn't have skinny fit then. So I had to try to find a small size that fit. And I found it in Levi's, I think, eventually.
Levi's have the best jeans.
They
do. A lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Levi's. Get you a good pair of Levi's.
Get you a good pair of Levi's. And they last you forever.
And it fits you forever.
They fit you forever.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In the right spots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. They fit right. But no. So, right. Eventually it was Levi's. But I remember, like, just saying how fashion forward we were, I was trying to get what we have now back in early 2000. It was like 2000. I was trying to find that what we got now. I couldn't find it. I was struggling. But that's why I was, you know, doing cunt boots. But anyway, go ahead.
And so in Atlanta, I felt like I went for more of the Atlanta look or whatever. It was still kind of urban. It was urban, but more like high-end urban mm-hmm. type of thing. It wasn't baggy urban with more high-end urban, you know what I'm saying, and stuff like that. Then when I came to Austin, that didn't work because they thought I was drug dealers and hood rat, you know what I'm saying? So, because it wasn't really the environment. So I feel like clothes is always kind of, not even necessarily that I had to conform to the surrounding. It was what was comfortable for me, especially as I got older in age, right? So now I like, you know, I can wear just jeans and a tee. Like, I don't really care about fashion to that level. You know, I wear what I want to wear now. But it took, like, how many years to get to that point? You know what I'm saying? Before, it was always conducive to where I lived, you know, what image I was trying to give off, this whole masculine and feminine thing, right? It's always had a whole, I guess in general, we're talking about the ideas for the straights, and we're going to get on that in a minute. But I feel like it's really a hold in our own community, that this whole idea of masculinity and femininity and what you can wear and not wear. And I feel like, my mother is in and watching. Yes, Diamond Faces, Shay Shay, Chanel. Yes.
Hey.
Shout out to Shay Shay Chanel and the House of Chanel. We have a new overall mother and a new overall father. I'm excited for the direction of the house and whatever. And I got to start walking again, but I'm a Chanel for life no matter what. Shout out to Shay Shay, my mother. I love her. But anyway, it was all in our own community. We take those hetero stereotypes and put it on our own self. Like, they wear this, they're masculine. I feel like nowadays, though, that was back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was back then. Everybody wearing tight jeans. Everybody looked cunt to me. Like, I can't tell. Like, before you could tell, like, well, ooh, they might be gay based on a hat on.
Mm-hmm.
How can you even tell based on what somebody have on right now whether they're gay or not? Which is a good thing. So the idea, I understand, I want to be objective when we talk about women in the situation. You going to show me that picture?
Yes.
I don't know if y'all know him. What was he on, WeTV?
Yeah, he was on The Black Bachelor, supposedly.
The Black Bachelor. And that, damn.
Right. That's fine. That's my husband.
He's fine as hell. But, you know, I like to talk about women in a different way. Because I feel like that we have to understand their perspective of the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like it was easier then to separate it and know who was not gay and who was straight based on what they have on. And now with this blurred line, and now with all this blurred culture, I understand why it might be difficult, especially for the Black woman. But that's only because we allow toxic masculinity to lead our communities.
Mm-hmm.
That we feel like if a man, you know, and that's when we're talking about polygamy, and that's when you brought this topic up about clothes representing some kind of masculine or toxic masculinity, mm-hmm, in the community, Black community, I really feel like it expands across all boards when it comes to the Black community and how straight women put this pressure on their men to be a certain way based on history, right? And then now they're all fucked up because they can't move with the times. Like, I said we're going to talk about sexuality too. Like, you know, because I think somebody was saying, like, what was I watching? It was like some kind of movie. And a guy was like, it was like a little short movie. It was like a BET, and it was about a guy. And a girl, like, stuck her finger up his butt. He was like, what are you doing back there? She was like, shut up. You like it. You like it. And then after a while, she did that. And then he just fucked the hell out of her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like the Black woman in that situation, with the times being more open, because this ain't nothing new that's going on.
Mm-mm.
It's just now we're getting to more of a progressive nation or a progressive community where Black people are, we're getting there. We ain't there yet. Because we still hold, I feel like Black women is still holding on this toxic masculinity, mm-hmm, because that's what they were raised on.
Mm-hmm.
That's how their daddy was. That's what their mama told them to do. That's what a man should do this. A man should be like that. A man should look like that.
Mm-hmm.
A man should dress like that. Mm-hmm. A man should be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're not doing that, and we can't really fault the Black woman, that's why with these conversations, we need to be sensitive to Black women, because it's not their fault. It is generation of what they was told a man should be. And so just because culture has changed, all of a sudden, that's moved a little faster than what the grandma and the mama has said. Mm-hmm. We can't really blame them for that. Like, for a woman to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, my man, he wears skinny jeans. He got red hair, blue, purple, pink hair. He likes something stuck up his butt, but he loved me, though. Like, that's a lot. Is that not a lot?
It's a lot to say out loud. It's a lot to say out loud because, like you said, it's not anything that is, like you said, I'm glad you said that, too. It's not anything that's new. Mm-hmm. It's just something that we're talking about now out loud, and it's something that is conversation. It's something that's being shown to, like, the masses. It's, you know, conversations. Because it, like, you know, sometimes when you have certain conversations with certain people, or certain people say, even, let's talk gays, even, like, these roles in gays, you know, like, oh, well, the bottom does this, or the top does that. I know, or, you know, or versatile, they don't really have all that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, people, the way they, you know, somebody look at a bottom, they see a bottom do certain things, or you hear about a bottom doing something, like, oh, and I'm like, well, that's not really anything shocking that a bottom might stick their tongue up their partner's, you know, butt, you know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't, and they're a bottom. Like, that's not really anything shocking, because I could tell you, back in the day, when I was in school, and this is not anything to do with gays, this is just me, I'm just sharing a little something about me and how I was, how, I guess, sexuality and stuff that people did in the bedrooms and stuff like this, to me, I ain't never really been stuffy. I mean, I know, Tyreek probably like, yes, you are stuffy about
you're,
stuff.
You're stuffy.
No, I'm not stuffy.
You're prude.
No, I'm not
you're
a prude.
Like a dried up raisin.
No, Tyreek, he's saying I'm a dried up raisin, I'm a prude, just because I'm not doing the act. Because I'm not active. But just because I'm not active doesn't mean I'm a prude. That just means I'm selective. There's nothing wrong with being selective. And
I'm cutting you off cold-heartedly. So what does that mean? So what are you doing that makes you not a prude in your bedroom? I need details.
I've never been a person who said what, just because, okay, here, let me, this is what I think. Right. So let me say what Mr. Telltale's thing is. I think his thing is because he's, you know, versatility is the best and da 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 da. Just because I say, okay, well, no, I don't do all that. That doesn't mean I don't do anything. Like, that doesn't mean that I'm just, oh, okay,
so,
I'm
going to
lay
represent?
On my back. I'm just going to lay on my back and let a man do what he does and da 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 da. I'm open to a lot. It's just, I'm just not going to be versatile. That's
so do
it.
Do you eat your man booty?
I've been doing that since the beginning. That's where I'm trying to go with this.
Okay.
I've never not done it. My thing is, though, it's just not something that I've made a big conversation about, because when I was younger, when I was in school, all the freaky girls, all the nasty girls, for some odd reason, it was my girl. Like, I always talked to them, and they would tell me all these stories about stuff that they would do with their men and stuff like this. And my girls used to tell me they would stick their finger up their guy's ass. So they would tell me that they ate their guy's ass. So it was never... So when people make this thing about eating booty, I'm like, that ain't nothing new. My girls was doing that in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't... What are we talking about here? You know what I'm saying? I just don't make a big deal about it because...
Not the 90s.
Right? Yeah.
They were eating booty in the 90s.
They was eating booty in the 90s. They were. So I'm like, what are we talking about? Like, to me, I just don't make a big topic about it because to me, it's not anything new. Or, you know... Even Adina Howard, yeah, I love Adina Howard for anybody. That's,
oh, I love
Howard. Adina Howard was talking about eating booty in the 90s.
The 90s. Somebody said the 90s.
Right. So my thing is, so to me, all this stuff, it was never shocking to me. I never made a topic about it. Or if, you know, girls talking about they slipped a finger up their guy's ass. And, you know, that's not shocking to me. Girls have been telling me they've been doing that forever. So to me, I might not be active. But my thing is, that don't mean I'm just so prudish where I'm not, only thing I won't probably, you know, I'm just not versatile. But that don't mean that I'm not open to a whole bunch of other stuff. And my thing, like the whole eating booty thing.
But if you eat the booty, stick to booty, you got a penis, why not put it in? But that's a whole nother topic.
But see, no. Let me say this. I'm not going to talk about it. But just because the guy wants a tongue up there or a finger does not mean he wants the dick up there. Let's just be clear.
Okay, so that's a whole nother topic. But just some housekeeping notes. Instagram, you guys know. We only get a certain amount of time to go live on Instagram. So I would like to thank everybody who's been watching us on Instagram, interacting. Well, we got the 90s. We got all types of stuff that's been said to us. So thank you guys. So we are going to have to get off Instagram live, but we are going to continue to record. So make sure you will tune in on Monday to hear the full episode and, you know, support, show us love as we continue to show you guys love. Again, we're out. Thank you so much on Instagram. Holla.
Bye.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure we did that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, because you weren't even paying me no attention. Girl, no. You really wanted to make that call? Like, wait, we got 20 seconds, we got 30 seconds. But let me tell you this real quick. So, yeah, so just because they don't like to stick it and lick it.
I mean, it's just different for everybody. Everybody's going to be different. It's a lot of different things that people like sexually. And that's why I say I don't judge anybody who likes different stuff. You know, some people like shower pissing. Some people like all this different kind of stuff. I don't judge if that's something that you like and that's what you do. That's just what you do. So, anyway, going back to my point. I just think a lot of this taboo stuff that people be talking about, I don't do it. That's fine if you don't do it, but it's not anything new. Well, I'm not going to eat my man head. Okay, well, you don't have to, but girls have been doing it since forever. Your homegirl probably has been doing it. She just didn't tell you. So that's all I'm saying. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I definitely agree with you. You know, I always tease you about that. I don't really think, first of all, I don't think you're a prude. I feel like you do fall into that, the opposition of me. Being a versatile guy mm-hmm. who's been so open about versatility, like, that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. And we're just opposite on that. It's not that I disagree with your feelings. I feel like there are 100% tops. There are going to be 100% bottoms. That's the way that work, right? And that's versatility would be a thing if we didn't, if everybody was versatile, would it really be all hot to be just versatile, you know? So I like my role, and I respect yours for sure.
I respect everybody's.
Yes, and I do feel that. I do tease about it. I understand it, right? You know, I do kind of question it. Like, if you lick it, stick it, and all of that, then, and not necessarily saying you in particular, maybe I know that you are just one of a kind. I do question all just strict tops and strict bottoms, but I understand those roles have to be there. But going back to the topic, is that we have those stereotypes within our own community, right? And so for us to not understand how even more taboo it is in the straight black community is for us just to be kind of like blind, like I already said about the woman, and just about the man. And so black men are finally able to start to express themselves a lot more with their clothes or with culture. I feel like culture has allowed black men to open up. Mm-hmm. They're able to express themselves with colors and clothes and music, and you know, rapper can be, you know, do techno and, you know, do all these different things now. The issue that we're still having that really affects us is the healing, the emotional thing, where we're not allowing men to be emotionally free. And that's the part we need to get to. And that's going to take the part of the black woman, the gay community, of all of us to come together. Because if we continue to just, like, like shots fired and, you know, really point the finger at toxic masculinity, it really comes of us all going together. Because we got to understand the historical content when it comes to what a black man is. And it's all false, right? It mm-hmm. is all false. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But it's generational. It's year after year is what we've been. I was raised the same way, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we made the comment that, we, you know, we say, you know, a man's supposed to be a man, so they can't cry, or they can't be emotional, or it can't be too much for them.
Yeah.
It can be. What did that mean? The number one enemy in this country is the black man. Or we use the, I smacked. I thought I was going to go a smack-free episode. Where's my water? Because I'm not going to smack the rest, especially when I got something real good to say. But just going, you know, we made the situation like, okay, so a man wear a dress, they ain't a man, right? That's not being a man.
Bullshit.
But a man that don't pay their child support or take care of their kids, we don't call that, you know, effeminizing the man. Like,
yes,
we pick and choose what we consider is masculinity.
That's true.
Because if we wanted, and I'm being devil's advocate in what I just said, right? Mm-hmm. We have historically said this is what the man's supposed to provide.
Yes.
But when we got a bunch of men not providing, we don't put that same standard. You know, we worried about so much about a man in a dress. We're not worried about all these men going to jail.
Right.
Or we're not worried about all these men not getting an education. We're not worried about all these men not getting taking care of their families.
Exactly.
You know, we got rappers saying they want 10 kids by 10 different baby mamas, but that's masculine?
because he has on some baggy pants on. He's showing his drawers, and he got on some Tims or whatever, and a white tee. You know, but a man who might be on RuPaul's Drag Race who does that, just that's just something he does. But he could possibly marry to, he could possibly be married to a woman and have a family and taking care of his kids and providing for his family. Well, that's not a man. It's not. Like, he's taking care of his responsibilities. He has children. He's taking care of them. He's taking care of his family. He's providing. But because he wears a dress, he's not a man. I call bullshit. Sorry. I do. No, I ain't sorry. I call bullshit. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But, I mean, that makes sense, right? And that's the really the future of where we're trying to go. Because we need to get rid of this idea of what the black man's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? There are black gay men, right?
Yeah.
They are men.
Yeah.
They are black gay masculine men.
Yes.
They are black gay feminine men.
Yes.
They are feminine straight men that we try to call them. What we call them?
Metrosexual.
Metrosexual. Mm-hmm. They are masculine straight men. Mm-hmm. They are masculine bisexual men. They yes. are masculine or feminine bisexual men. It's all these things we need to, as a community, understand and stop boxing what it is to be a black man.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like while we always talk about hip-hop, I feel like, again, hip-hop and black culture is always at the forefront. And even within, they're catching up with a lot of gay culture, mm-hmm. but they're catching up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the forefront of what it is about, you know, the way that the... I feel like if it wasn't for rappers putting on skinny jeans or coloring their hair or wearing purses and doing that thing and still identifying, because I don't feel like they all gay. Like, they rich and they like, bitch, a bad bitch or a bad person carries a Gucci bag. We talked about your thing about bags,
I
right?
sure did.
What, you know, so if I go carry some money, you know, and then again, you talk to the Italian straight guys, you talk to the Russian straight guys that got money and stuff like that, they able, white people are able to live in their truths.
Mm-hmm.
We are only ones that allow sexuality to dictate, you know, the masculine or feminine. If, and I'm telling this to all black women, if your man fuck you every night, he's straight enough. What else do you want? What else is it? If he take care of your kids, he's sexing you, you married to him, what else do you want? What else do he have to prove to you? Nothing else should matter.
No.
You should allow him to be who he is. Some men are more. Every man can't be masculine. That doesn't even make sense genetically, scientifically, and just logically. So you want all men, black men, to act alike? You want them all to be hoodlums? Or then they got to be on a whole nother spectrum, maybe, you know, business or whitewashed? What about in the middle? They got a little hood, got a little, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, like, if you are allowing this man who you think, well, he act too feminine, he's skinny jeans and stuff like that, but you're actually allowing him to fuck you, girl, well, you let him stick his dick in you. So my thing is, you all that, like you just said, I guess I'm just agreeing with what you just said. That girl, how does that even matter? You didn't already let him get inside your box. So, girl, what matter does, you know, why are you so concerned about what he presents himself as to out in the streets? Because are you about image? You are more concerned about what other people think, because clearly when you at home, you don't care, okay? Mm-hmm. You might catch your man in the bathroom and he putting on a face mask. He doing his nails. He shaving his legs. And you probably be bypassing that because can't nobody see. But then he go out in the streets and he do something. Oh, no, well, I don't like when he does that because you concerned about what other people think. If your man, it shouldn't matter what other motherfuckers think. If your man, if you love your man and your man shaves his legs, gets his nails done, and wears Versace purses, who cares? That's your man, you love
that's
him.
That's your man. He fucking you. He provided for you. What else does it, if you know he ain't gay, then what does it matter? Why do what somebody wear represent their sexuality?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, again, it only mainly, I'm not going to say maybe all marginalized communities, you know, Latinos and stuff like that, even though they've been wearing skinny jeans and boots since the age of time.
Okay.
Right? You know, I don't understand how they get away with some of them jeans. I'm like, can you breathe in the motherfucking jeans? Your package is hanging from here to, I see your nuts. And you think that's cute? You know what I'm saying? But they would, you know what I'm saying? So that's just a culture thing. And so this idea of toxic masculinity, right, it is not something that is going to be fixed overnight because it mm-hmm. is too historically embedded
yeah.
in the black man. And then, again, it's racially, you know, motivated, right? How the black man and how the black woman relationship has been altered over time. Again, you do not see the same situation in white couples. I don't even know. I cannot clock a white gay man unless they're feminine, like over the top, and they like, I'm gay. Otherwise, they all seem like they have sugar in their tank.
Yeah,
unless they're overly masculine, which is very far in between to find an overly masculine white guy.
That's true.
Like, how can you, like, if you compare as much masculinity or testosterone in a white man compared to a black man, it's like night and day.
That's true.
How often do you see it, even though the creeps, you know, the white creeps and the white, you know, women abusers and manipulators and stuff, you'd be like, really? Like, how are you manipulating this woman out of her drawers?
Right.
Like, I'm not buying it. But again, that's my own black generational upbringing that, hey, you don't even got enough masculinity to be beating on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or get me out of my, and not me personally, but I'm just saying, I'd be wondering, like, well, girl, if that's who you married? And but they
no, I'm sorry. It was an episode on South Park one time where it was this overly gay, like, or he wasn't gay actually. I guess he wasn't supposed to be gay. He was supposed to, he was like this dancer, and he like, he did all the plays. He was like in a chorus line, all this kind of stuff. He was like, but he was like very feminine, kind of like Kim Fields' husband.
Ooh, no. Did you say that out loud?
Well, I'm just saying. But he was like that. But he was abusing his wife. And people, it was so like, he was, you know, and he even abused his wife feminine. Like, he would, like, you know, like, slap her with the back of his hand. Not with the inside, but he would slap her with the back of his hand and slap her, like, you know, and have his wrist off flare. Like, you know, I'm going to slap you. You know what I'm saying?
He was Joan Crawford.
Right, he was Joan Crawford. But yes, he was Joan Crawford abusing his wife. And it was so funny. And she was acting like she was all scared of him and stuff like this. And it was so funny. So what you said is so true. Like, we would think, like, oh, hell no, he would be hitting on me. But in that episode, she, like, he was, like, beating her ass, and she was all scared for her life and stuff like that. And he was, like, probably the most fair, you know, queen, I don't want to say queeniest, but he was the most feminine man you probably would ever seen in your life. But anyway, go ahead.
But no, I mean, that is so true. That is shit so funny, because I'm like trying to like reenact that in my head. That shit sounds funny. But I mean, it's really that true. And again, I smacked again. So, you know, Andrea said she counted my smacks on the last episode, and it was 22 smacks.
Ooh.
And so... And so I got my water bottle, y'all. You know, y'all saw the cocktail views on Instagram. And so I got my water. I'm gonna take a little sip of my water and whatever. Let me see if y'all hear it.
I don't think they heard that much, but they heard the ah.
Well, yeah, it was nice. It was quince. But yes, I mean, you know, I feel like I'm friends with straight guys only because the straight guys that allow themselves to be free. You know, let's free our black men.
Yeah.
Gay or straight.
Yeah.
And I feel like hip hop, Young Thug, they're doing their part, right? They have a platform.
Yeah.
Lil Uzi Vert, just a lot of them, right? Those are the like hip hop guys that's coming to mind. But I even feel like a lot of the actors, you know, even like Michael B. Jordan, right? He doesn't give me like a hyper masculine, you know, mentality. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's just a regular guy. You know, Kevin Hart, you know, he does a lot of, but he's a comedian. So comedians have always been blurred line when it comes to masculine and femininity. Because I was actually on Facebook and I saw the video where his booty was out. And I was just like, you know that one video that he was doing and he pulled his pants down?
Oh, yeah.
And with his booty out.
Yeah.
But let's, regardless if it's sexual, right, even what you do in your bedroom, even what you do at your job, how you dress, what I'm most concerned about, and it's kind of going to go into my black queer highlight or our black queer highlight of the day.
Well, before you go there, I got something to say.
Go ahead, say it.
Well, I've been thinking since, and this is a whole different conversation, but we all, you know, even me, sometimes, or, you know, my girl, Jada Pinkett, Mama Gam, you know, we grind our teeth when we see one of our brothers, a black man with an Anglo woman. And we all know why that we say black men go with Anglo women, because it's easier. Well, what if the easier part is that they don't have these strict toxic masculinity standards that they have to be held to when they're with necessarily with a black woman? That could be one of the reasons why they like to be, because the Anglo does not, you know, have all these strict standards of what they should act like, or they feel like they should be wearing this, or they should do that, or they shouldn't do this, or they don't feel like they have all those strict rules or policies that they have to follow that they are when they are with a black woman. I'm not saying that that's for everybody, but it's just something to think about of black women. There's something to think about, because I ain't trying to get nasty with y'all. And this ain't got nothing to do. This doesn't have anything to do overall with why a black man goes with the Anglo woman. But I don't know if y'all have noticed, but a lot of these, and I'm about to get XXX for a second. A lot of these porn sites I've noticed where these straight men, you know, are with these Anglo women, they all be, and I'm not saying all black men want this, but they all somehow be eating these black men's asses. And it's only these white women or Anglo. And I'm like, well, I don't see. I mean, I see some. You might see that sometime on the black porno. But it's just they do. I mean, they do more than that. But it's just, you know, they don't. These black men are more open to letting these Anglo do it. But I don't see it a lot on the black pornos. So I don't know what that's about. Not saying one got anything to do with the other, but it's something to think about. Because I'm like, you know, and I'm not saying that that's something that all black men want. I'm just saying, though, that part of that easier stuff or part of them feeling like they could be more comfortable around Anglo or comfortable. What I'm just saying, my point of they might be more comfortable around Anglo, or they might feel like they don't have to go, you know, buy to these rules that they have to when they might be with the black woman, even sexually. Guess that's what I'm saying. So it's something to think about, ladies.
Yeah, and to counter that, the ladies and the men, do your part. Like, it's time out for y'all to, you know, to rely on this toxicity and this divisive, you know, behavior, emotional behavior, and the way the status quo, you know, that gives you the license to treat a woman that you, you know, the way you do. Or treat gays the way you do.
Yeah.
So even though we're giving you an outlet, it's basically a get out of jail free card. But I'm gonna be back on your ass real soon, because you know I'm here for my black straight brothers or my black cis,
yeah,
you know, gender gays and stuff like that. I'm here to support us.
Yes, I am. I am.
I'm
too.
A black man, a cis gay man, and so I'm here to support us.
Yes.
But again, that is it's not. You either get out of jail now or work towards that, or you will continue to feel the wrath of me not accepting your behaviors as a way of life. You know what I'm saying? You can't treat women the way that you've been historically been allowed to.
Mm-mm.
It's time up.
No.
You can't treat gays the way you historically been allowed to. It's time up. It's no excuse. Fuck you and those old rhetorics. Those old behaviors, those old issues that you got that you want to put out in the world. So I feel like now is your time to start living in your truth. And your truth is not about being gay or straight. I'm so tired of that conversation always being taking place. Because, again, everything that we talk about sexually, fashion, way of life, nails done, could be with a woman.
Yes.
You know, taking care of yourself, loving on yourself, emotionally connected to yourself, doing your work, unpacking your shit is okay. That is not a feminine trait.
No.
Again, white people or Anglos, like we said, has been allowed to live those lives for years.
Yep.
You know, we just look. I challenge all black women who listen to this, straight, and all black men, cisgender, gay, or straight black men, to listen and watch your counterparts. Even in the gay community, look at what the Anglos are allowed to do and ask yourself, why not us? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And again, we're not trying to duplicate. We're trying to get what's rightfully ours, and freedom is ours. Healing is ours. And so that's all I'm challenging. And so I don't want to get it misconstrued that I will be on every head of every disrespectful black man or white man or Latino man that feels like they're going to continue this toxic masculinity, and every woman that allows it to be enabled. We're done.
Yeah.
This episode was just about that.
Yeah. And I just want to say, too, and in closing, that, yeah, we need to stop judging people based off, you know, just off the stuff that they wear. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy to just judge a whole person and how who they are as a person just off a base of off of something that they wear just because they're expressing themselves how they feel most comfortable. That's crazy because, you know, these people that are out here who are, you say, well, they a man, but they wearing a dress. These, they can be some very, they are very, well, not me, I don't know all of them, but I mean, just, you know, they could possibly be a very beautiful person that could be an additive to your life if you actually sat and talked to them and held a conversation instead of just judging them based off your own messed up views or toxic masculinity views of who this person is. You know, like, it's, when we was at the club on Saturday, that straight club or whatever like that, for one, I didn't feel uncomfortable. And two, one thing I liked about the whole situation was that it was a whole group of different people, including myself, because, you know, I had me on some tight jeans on and my bag on, and I was swinging and dropping and doing my thing, too. But we were all in this one room, I guess straight, gays, Anglo, everything, and everybody was having a good time, and it was a non-judgment zone. I don't feel nobody was really judging. That's why everybody felt so comfortable to come out and just do and be them and do what they were doing, because it was a non-judgment zone, and people weren't hung up on all that bullshit. We were just enjoying each other's company for what we were, whatever that may be. And that's it.
Yes. And so just going into our Black Queer Highlight, it's all about healing. And that's what we're saying that needs to be done in our community across the board. Mm-hmm. And the person that I wanted to highlight today was Yolo Akili Robertson. He is the author of Dear Universe, Letters of Affirmation and Empowerment. Mm-hmm. He's also the founder and executive director of BEAM, which is the Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective. I had the chance to hear this guy read some excerpts from his book in L.A. last year at a symposium I went to, and I follow him on Instagram and Facebook, and BEAM is doing a lot of work around Black healing within the community, mental health. They just had a really big thing with Jennifer Lewis and stuff like that. I am wanting my organization, our organization, West in America, to really work with BEAM in some kind of way. But I wanted to highlight him because I feel like it goes back, you know, and I was looking at his tweets today, and it was really, you know, talking about how can we start looking at toxic masculinity and how can we as a community begin to start healing. And he's really good with the idea of, you know, the movement of Black gay men dedicated to unlearning emotional patriarchy and counter toxic social and gender concepts in our community. That's one thing he said, right?
Okay.
He talks about all types of stuff that really, you know, strikes a chord with me and the work that I do around mental health, and especially around the work that we have to do in our own Black queer community. But the idea that his organization crossed all gender bounds, you know, boundaries, all sexual boundaries. So big up to YOLO. Big up to BEAM. I'm highlighting you today just to let you know West in the Mirror organization here out in Austin, Texas is wanting to work with you in some kind of way. And just know that a Black man, a Black queer man is doing that kind of work. He's backed by Shonda Rhimes. You know, he works with her, a writer for her. I think he told me that. But regardless, I know that Shonda Land and a lot of things, you know, I follow what they're doing. So you're dope. The work you're doing is dope. We're ready for Black healing to take place, and we want to do our part, and we just want to highlight you this week and highlight you every day for the work that you're doing. So big ups to you and the BEAM organization. And if you would like, you can follow YOLO on his Instagram at YOLOAKILI on Instagram. And then you can do BEAM, which is underscore BEAMORG. check them out, right? You know, let's start this healing. They're doing the work. They have the resources, and they're impacting the masses. So that's all I got to say for today, personally. I mean, how are you going to end it today, Mr. Edmondson? Miss Edmondson.
Oh, I said what I had to say pretty much for the episode. You know, just stop judging people by stuff that they wear and let people be express themselves however they choose. And I know that's not something that's going to happen overnight, but I just, you know, all I can do is hope that, you know, people open their minds up and stop being judgmental so we can just all live our best lives. That's all I got to say.
Yes, yes. So I know last week I kind of teased that we're going to have a guest. So we wasn't able to get our guest this week for our own technical reasons. Our engineer, Edmondson, decided that we're going to wait till next week, which is all right, right? Because I feel like this topic was good, right,
yes.
Edmondson?
No.
And so we need to say this. And I feel like it kind of segue into what we're going to talk about next week with our new series that we're going to have. And it's basically going to be a female and gay best friend relationship. And it's going to be an ongoing series. I'm not going to get much into the guests. Who she is today, because y'all will get to know her the same way you got to know Mr. Telltales and Edmondson. So are you ready to get into some things next week, Edmondson?
I am. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting talking about it from a different perspective, because real talk, I don't have a female guest best friend, and I never had one. So that's going to be interesting to talk about.
Yeah, but she is my female best friend.
Yeah.
And she loves Edmondson. And so it's going to be a really, really good time. And I feel like, you know, as we talk about what works for us, we got to just talk about all those things that works for us. You know what I'm saying? Because we know that every gay black man, most, because Edmondson said he doesn't have one. But even though I feel like, and we're supposed to be wrapping this up, that, you know, back in Detroit, you had a lot of female friends that you would go out. I mean, you have a perspective in that manner.
Yeah.
I mean, because you've even brought that up in now, talking about my homegirls was sticking fingers in booties in the 90s.
They weren't my best friend, though.
But okay, but just that perspective, yeah. Right? And so I feel like this is a really good series that we want to add to our podcast. I feel like you've gotten to learn Edmondson, you know, 6 episodes in. You got to learn a little bit more about Mrs. Telltales as well. So we're about to, you know, get into some things, as Queen Nicki Minaj would say. And, you know, and we're going to, you know, turn some shit up like Queen Little Kim would say, because we all about spreading love to all black women, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
That's what it's all about. You can like who you like, feel how you feel. I support all my queens, and I'm very clear about that. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
We got a guest.
Right, we have a guest. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Yes, so I'm excited. So make sure you guys are doing what we need you guys to do, and that's what show love, support, and subscribe. Right, Edmondson?
Yes, and leave comments or reviews on actual Apple Podcasts. And, you know, if you feel a certain way, you feel a certain way about an episode, feel free to go there and leave a comment and review it. And, you know, of course, we'll read it and show love the same way. We would if you sent it any other kind of way, but that's, you know, that definitely is a preferred way for, you know, we like for to hear from people is, you know, reviews on Apple Podcasts matters.
Yes. review. I'm gonna start emailing y'all like, hey, can you review us on Apple Podcasts? Oh, you sent me a message to DM. Can you put that on Apple Podcasts? I'm gonna hit y'all up. But thank you guys so much. We are so excited for the love, and we're ready for to keep on pushing and just growing. We're gonna play. I feel like we should play a game next week. That game you talked about the last episode, because my homegirl asked about that. She's like, what is that game Edmondson was talking about? I said, well, you know what? He ain't really followed up with me with that game. So I want to play that game next week.
We can't play that game next week, Mr. Telltales, because you have to have participation from the listeners. They have to send in questions. They have to send in assumptions.
Well, so we're going to start eating. We're going to, you know what? I'm inboxing y'all.
No, we can't do that. It should be something natural that they do. If they want to talk or they want to have something to say, they should naturally do it. That's why I say it might be something we have to do down the line once we start getting our engagement up. But I just feel like that's kind of reversing it. Like, what assumption do you have about me? I think it takes away from the same.
Oh, that was the game?
Yeah.
Okay, that was the game. No, yeah. That's definitely not something we would add. I forgot what the game was, actually, until when she brought it up. But anyway, we're out. If you want to follow me, you can follow me at Mr. Telltales, MisterTelltales. on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and I suspended my jack, so you can't find me on there.
Well, I'm the L Code, THEELECODE, on everything, even .com. That's my blog. Check it out. I'm still updating everything and all that. I don't know what I'm posting for next week, but it'll be something up, you know, by the time this episode's up. And yeah, even on Pinterest, hit me up.
What are you doing on Pinterest?
Well, I'm picture fashion is about pictures, so we have to be on Pinterest.
Oh, fine. All right, holla.
Holla.